Hello, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today, we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Job. Excuse me, we come to Job chapter 17, verse 1. If you have a Bible, open it up to Job chapter 17. We'll see how far we get. But let's begin with prayer. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Job says, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. He sure wishes it was ready for him. Because we've seen in the past, that's the only thing that he's looking forward to is dying because he feels so horrible. And again, I say, I don't think anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ was ever hit as hard with suffering as Job was. And so he lost his family, his kids. He lost his wealth. His body is in terrible condition. It's literally rotting. It's breeding worms. And of course, when you have a body in terrible condition, that's bad, but his spirit is also broken, which is making these hard times nearly unbearable. Look at verse 3 or verse 2. He says, are not mockers with me? And does not my eye dwell on their provocation? Job saw people making fun of his condition. I just can't imagine doing that to anyone. And that is something that God abhors, by the way. Even if somebody is being punished for their sin, which Job was not, it's still wrong to mock them for their suffering. So Job saw people making fun of him and his condition. Anyone who would do that better say their prayers. And they better start with confession, because that is something that God despises. Verse 3, now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? Job is asking God to defend his innocence, because no one else is willing to do that. Everybody's turning on him. Job doesn't have a real friend in the world. Can you imagine being that lonely? Maybe you can. Maybe you are. Job certainly was. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. People no longer respected him because he was so sick. People looked down upon him. His wife was a miserable excuse for a wife. He was all alone, didn't have a friend in the world. Job chapter 17, verse 4, for you have hidden their heart from understanding, therefore you will not exalt them. Job is asking God to not let his three so-called friends go on thinking that they are right about Job being responsible for his suffering. And Job is wrong. He's just asking God to correct that. Verse 5. He who speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children will fail. People who abuse others with their words can expect the wrath of God. Verse 7. My eye has also grown dim because of sorrow, and all my members are like shadows. Job's disease is causing him to lose his sight. In addition to that, he's lost so much weight that he's just a shadow of his former self. Verse 8, upright men are astonished at this, and the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrite. So Job is saying, decent people would be upset at my suffering, and godly people would go after those who mock me or accuse me in the midst of all my suffering. But he can't find anyone like that. Verse 9, yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. Job isn't walking away from God, he says, because everybody else has. He's not. He's going to remain steadfast. And I just love this verse, yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. Actually, righteous, the righteous person, that is one who has repented of their sin and asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior and therefore is saved by faith in Christ, will not renounce Christ. Righteous people grow in righteousness. The righteous will hold to his ways. That's how you can tell they're righteous. They hold to their ways. Jesus said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Verse 11, my days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. Job realizes that he will never do some of the things that he has always wanted to do. He has reached that point in his life where that's at least what he thinks. Now, I believe he's wrong because God's gonna turn things around for him unexpectedly. But right now, that's what he's thinking. He is without hope. He is suffering so terribly. He has no one. He is alone. And he's thinking it's never going to be any different. And of course, there's no reason for him to believe that it'll be anything different, any better in this life. He has no one to encourage him. He has no one to give him encouragement from the Word of God. Verse 12, they change the night into day. The light is near, they say, in the face of darkness. Job's so-called counselors, his friends, called the night day. In other words, they twisted the truth to whatever they wanted the truth to be, and it just happened to be attacking Job, falsely accusing him, talking with authority about something that they didn't know, about something that they were dead wrong about, and that's that Job was responsible for his suffering. How do you know someone is responsible for their suffering? You're not God. You're not the judge. Only God knows why people suffer. And it's not always because of some sin that they have committed, as Job's friends were accusing him. Verse 13 of Job chapter 17, if I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and my sister, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust? People who hope in the things of this world will lose all hope when they die, and probably before that. Because when you're too sick to enjoy the things of this world, then what are you putting your hope in? If you have nothing to look forward to in eternity because you haven't repented and received Christ as your Lord and Savior. People who hope in the things of this world will lose all hope when they die for sure and before they die likely. That's why it is so wise to have an eternal hope in Jesus Christ. That way, even if your life ends up being terrible, you have something much better to look forward to in eternity. A Christian is never without hope, at least they shouldn't be, and they won't be if they have an eternal perspective. You can always grab a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and hang on to him. Chapter 18. Then Bildad, the Shuhite, answered and said, how long till you put an end to words? Gain understanding, and afterwards we will speak. It's hard to get through to someone who's always talking. That's just the general truth, isn't it? You ever tried talking to someone? You ever tried teaching someone who's always talking? Every time you say something, it's yeah, but. They don't listen. They don't hear. And so they do not learn. And you wonder why they even want you around. Why did they even ask your opinion in the first place, right? Well, Bildad is accusing Job of being that way. You're talking too much, Job. No wonder you don't learn anything from us. We're brilliant, and you're not getting anything out of our great wisdom. Well, they weren't brilliant, and they didn't have wisdom. And Job was talking to defend himself from their false accusations. Verse 3. Why are we counted as beasts and regarded as stupid in your sight? Well, because you are, Bildad. That's what I would have said. But he says, what, do you think we're idiots, Job? Well, I would say because you talk like one. Anybody who falsely accused someone who is suffering, who speaks off the top of their head without knowing what in the world they're talking about, adding hurt to the persons who are already suffering, yeah, I would say they're foolish. Foolish words come out of foolish people. That's why, Bildad. Verse 4, you who tear yourself in anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you? Or shall the rock be removed from its place? Job, you're ranting and raving, defending yourself. What, are you trying to convince God into making the world revolve around you so that you can have everything that you want? And I would say, no, that's not what Job was doing. He was defending himself against their false accusations. He went too far, and he started sort of blaming God for his suffering. But let's move on to verse 5. The light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. In other words, black fire awaits the wicked. Interesting. Interesting. You know, in spite of being a place of flames, Jesus also calls hell a place of darkness. How can that be? I don't know. Don't know. But it's true. I know that for a fact. Verse 6, the light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. When the lights go out unexpectedly, and I'm sure you've had that happen to you, you know that there's something wrong somewhere. Lights just do not go out unexpectedly. You know trouble somewhere. And the point is, the lights are going to go out on the wicked. And for many of them, it's going to be unexpected because they've been living in sin. They've been ignoring God. They've been ignoring the word of God. And judgment comes upon them, the Bible says, like a thief in the night. So if you have never repented of your sin and you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior and make a commitment to follow him, unexpected trouble is on the way. It's going to blindside you. And by the time you figure out what happened, it's going to be too late. So you better repent. You better receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. 7, the steps of his strength are shortened, and his own counsel casts him down. The strength of the wicked will falter. They will not be able to do their evil forever. I mean, they may be enjoying themselves, and they may be living it up and not feeling any guilt because they've hardened their hearts against the word of God, or they simply don't listen to it. So they probably feel pretty good about themselves right now. You enjoying your sin? You having a good time? It's not going to be that way forever. Your strength is going to falter. You're not even going to have the strength to commit sin. You're going to have to give it up. See, it's not a question of will you or will you not give up your sin. You will. The only question is, are you going to do it right now through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ so that you can be forgiven and when you die, go to heaven? Or are you going to wait until you're too old or too sick to enjoy your sin? You give it up then. Or you may just die unexpectedly in the midst of committing your sin. You're going to give it up then too. And then you'll have nothing but bad, because you'll be burning in hell for sure. So it's stupid. It's silly. It's foolish to hang on to your sin when you're going to have to give it up sooner or later. Why not? Why not give it up right now and receive forgiveness for doing it? Verse 8, for he is cast into a net by his own feet. The wicked make trouble for themselves. They trap themselves because they sin and they refuse to repent of their sin. Verse 9, the net takes him by the heel and a snare lays hold of him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground and a trap for him in the road. And there's truth in the statement that the wicked will fall into the trap they themselves set with their sin. The Bible talks about that over and over again, doesn't it? If you commit sin, you are laying a snare for your own life. If you commit sin, you are digging a pit for your own immortal soul, and you're going to fall into it. You're going to be trapped. And something else that you need to understand, that sin you're committing, maybe the first few times you can control it, but it doesn't take long, and all of a sudden it starts controlling you. Verse 11, terrors frighten him on every side and drive him to his feet. Unsaved people cannot get away from the fact that they're in trouble with God. Unsaved people cannot get away from that uneasy feeling of knowing what awaits them, especially in eternity, talking about eternal hellfire. You just can't get away from that, can you? Especially if you've heard the word of God, which you are hearing right now. You'll never forget this. Oh, you can reject Jesus Christ. You can go on sinning if you want to, but you're never going to enjoy it as much as you used to, because you're always going to be haunted by the thoughts that sin has to be paid for, and you're the one who's going to be paying for it forever in the lake of fire. It's never going to be stopped. You're never going to get out of there. And you can't get away from that. And I hope it makes you feel miserable every time you commit sin. And I hope every time you go to bed, you're going to be struck with terror, thinking that you might not wake up. And I don't have anything against you. I just want you to be terrified so that you will repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before it's too late. I'm the best friend you have, because I'm telling you the truth. Notice verse 12, his strength is starved and destruction is ready at his side. Trouble is waiting to pounce on an evil person. Trouble is waiting to pounce on you if you've rejected Christ. You're just a heartbeat out of hell. It's going to pounce on you. And then what? Then nothing. Then you're in trouble. Verse 13, it devours patches of his skin. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. The firstborn of death refers to the worst disease possible. Back to Job. I don't know what in the world Job was suffering from, but whatever it was the worst thing possible. Verse 14, he is uprooted from the shelter of his tent, and they parade him before the king of terrors. You know, once death grabs a person and starts dragging them away, nothing that evil person has lived for, nothing that evil person has trusted in, will be able to reverse it. And once you're dead, then you're really in trouble. Verse 15, they dwell in his tent who are none of his. Brimstone is scattered on his dwelling. According to Scripture, the Christ-rejecting people of the world are going to be thrown into hell. Jesus will say to them, depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, because I never knew you. And then following that, everything in this world, including all of the things that they live for, all of the things that they spent all that money on, eventually will melt in a giant nuclear explosion at the end of the age. Verse 16, his roots are dried out below, and his branch withers above. The memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name among the renowned. People are going to forget about you, you know. You know what you're going to be reduced to? A hyphen on a gravestone. born such and such a date, hyphen, died such and such a date. That's your life, a hyphen. The wicked are going to be blotted out. They're going to be judged and condemned and sent to hell, and nobody's going to care. People will forget about you. And God will forget about you. Verse 18, he is driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Of course, wicked people are chased out of the world, and that's because they don't have any peace about leaving. They don't want to leave. Because they either know they're going to hell or they're not sure where they're going, but I can tell you, you are going to hell. You say, well, I'm hoping for the best. Well, you're a fool. Because God already tells you what's going to happen. You need to repent. You need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's your only hope. 19, he has neither son nor posterity among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. Those in the west are astonished at his day, as those in the east are frightened. In other words, Job, and he's pointing all these things at Job. He's supposed to be Job's friend. I mean, I'm pulling out these truths, which they are truth, and I'm applying them to wicked, Christ-rejecting sinners today, and that makes his book valuable. But Job's friends, including this joker, is accusing Job of being this way, and he's one of the most godly men who has ever lived. It's just that he's suffering, and they don't know what to do with it, so they're accusing him falsely. And so basically what he's saying here in verses 19 and 20 is, Job, you haven't been as good as you should have been. And that's why all your children are dead. Can you imagine saying something like that and not knowing what you're talking about? Satan is using Bildad's mouth to pour salt on poor Job's wounds. 21. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked. And this is the place of him who does not know God. Yep, Job, you are perverse. And you are anti-God. And that's why you're suffering so badly. And Bildad doesn't have a clue as to what he's talking about. But man, he's getting in trouble with God. Every time he opens his mouth and talks, that pit that he's going to fall into just gets a little bit deeper. And if you want to be a part of this ministry, you can be. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Wausau, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. And don't forget to check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website, because you can study the whole Bible with me, just like we're doing today, from Genesis through Revelation, every single verse of the Bible. Study it using my audio Bible commentaries, and that can be found at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. Thank you for spending this time with me. So long, everyone.